I think it says exercise before learning. So exercise, cram session, final for immediate recall. And then, but if you were trying to, you know, do long-term recall.
You're just trying maybe get some larger concepts or something. Then it would
from
be
best
workout
when they
after.
Exercised after learning the list. So it's cram or study workout in order to get the ideas into your brain more.
Okay.
So workout after studying.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah, maybe like your regular activity should be actually learn and then go and work out.
Yeah, so like if you're a college student, work out and then go study for your exams. Like
yeah, but if you're doing exams,
yeah,
then you can do the immediate recall if you work out before.
Study, test.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing a lot of pounding over
here. I know. Like, here.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got an interesting episode for you tonight. We're going to tell you how you can get smarter, and it's with exercise. I know, I'm excited. Hopefully you are too. Before we jump into the main topic and our training recap and whatnot, we want to thank you guys for coming back and joining us this week. And for the new listeners, you are welcome to the podcast, the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Hope you enjoy it. And if you do, leave a rating review and tell a friend.
Yes. I know I got some comments from last week. People enjoying hearing about your workout. Thought my commentating was quite funny.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad.
So, yeah, if you have similar thoughts, share them with us. Leave that in the reviews and let us know also know what you like to hear us talk about.
All right. So, training recaps. Pretty happy. I mean, obviously, you guys heard how my week of training started out if you listened to the podcast last week. So, I kept that train rolling. Several kettlebell workouts this week, and I believe several times on the Peloton too. So I know one day, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember, probably Tuesday, I woke up feeling like I needed to do some stretching. So I did have one good stretch and mobility day, but all the other days, I think I had 5 days of movement. So I was pretty happy with that.
That's very good.
What about yourself? How'd you do?
I did fine. I got in a couple Peloton rides. I got in a HIIT workout, a little yoga. But I was down on Thursday with an unexpected, oh so joyful migraine, which basically put me in bed for an entire day.
Do you have any idea what really brings them on or triggers them?
I don't really. All I know is that before and after, I have a lot of muscle tension in my upper back, neck, and obviously my head. Like that's really all I know. I've heard so many different sort of connections. They say, well, you can have stress. It can be hormone triggered. It can be, you know, spasm in a muscle. Like, there's just a number of different factors. I feel very fortunate. I only get them a handful of times a year. And I think it's usually just a good, I use it as sort of a reminder that I need to be a little bit more in tune and very cautious with my body. So I felt like someone had been beating up the, like, an entire side of my body with a baseball bat basically that day and the next day. So I was a little more careful with myself and took a couple days afterwards to not push myself and just jump back in with heavy activity.
That's good. I'm glad you recovered. It allowed us to have a date night, so that was very
I know.
Enjoyable also.
Yes.
So the main topic of this week's podcast, I actually stumbled across it when I saw a, I don't know if it was a, it might have been an Instagram story. I think it was an Instagram story. Then I followed it up on looking at her Twitter. One of my favorites, Dr. Rhonda Patrick, and she had a tweet a few days ago. And like I said, I saw it on a story, but to put it out there verbally for you guys to understand, she said, exercise before learning new information helps boost short-term memory, and exercise after learning helps improve long-term recall. So I was like, oh, she's always posting like new studies. And then I went and clicked on it, and this is actually an old study. This is about from 6 years ago, 5 years ago, I should say. So as she kind of summarized, it's exercise improves your short-term memory. New research concludes in two experiments, healthy and active participants were given list of words to learn and recall either after or before exercise, or before or after a period of rest. Exercise consisted of 30 minutes of moderate intensity cycling. So that was the exercise. And as she kind of alluded to, the acute bout of aerobic exercise improves short-term memory. And also, so this leads us to believe that exercise before learning benefited immediate recall. But then when people had to wait to recall words, they perform best when they exercise after learning the list.
Interesting.
Right. So, and I think, I don't know what, I thought it was, you know, looking at that tweet and looking at this study, I was going to say like, oh, see, and you know, exercise makes you smarter, which, you know, I think, I kind of always knew that to a certain extent. You know, we've talked about studies on here before how, there's research suggests that, you know, working out in the morning makes you more productive throughout the day.
Right.
And I think I always believe, I don't know if there's any studies that back it up, that if you work out in the morning, you're more likely to work out, because I feel like after the day, if stuff starts piling up and you get a little stressed out, I mean, yes, some people can definitely see it as a relief by going to class, but I feel like if you're getting inundated with excuses not to work out, the more and more your day goes along.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you're getting it out in the morning, not only are you checking that box, but you're also setting yourself up to be a little bit more productive, I feel.
Yeah, for sure, in terms of like time of day. But I think it's also interesting because maybe if you're, you know, a student, or you're looking at, you can be a student at any age, really, but I kind of wish I'd known about this in college, mm-hmm, because I feel like, well, if I had to do some heavy memorization, yeah, or just had to study for like finals or something, this would have been handy, because it's interesting the way that it works, but I think that whether it's working out and then going to class, or working out and then doing studying, or doing that activity and then working out, mm-hmm, like there's slight differences.
Right.
But just like in terms of optimizing your learning potential, I think that's an interesting factor. 'Cause I mean, I think there are days and times where we just feel like we need to tune in more, and it's interesting that exercise seems to help us do that.
Yeah,
and really retain the information that we're tuned into.
It's interesting how they're somewhat inverse to a certain extent. Like acute bout of exercise improves short-term memory, and then exercise before learning benefited immediate recall. Well, that's the same thing. But when people had to wait to recall the words, they performed best when they exercised after learning the list. Interesting.
So, cram session before, like, study cram session final.
Yeah, you would have to.
And then, it would be like heavy memorization.
I think it says exercise before learning. So exercise, cram session, final for okay. immediate recall. And then, but if you were trying to, you know, do long-term recall.
You're just trying maybe get some larger concepts or mm-hmm. something. Then it would
from
be
best
work
when
out
they
after.
Exercised after learning the list. So it's cram or study workout in order to get the ideas into your brain more.
Okay.
So workout after studying.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah, maybe like your regular activity should be actually learn and then go and work out.
Yeah. So like if you're a college student, work out and then go study for your exams.
Yeah.
Like
but if you're doing exams.
Yeah.
Then you can do the immediate recall.
Yeah.
If you work out before.
Study, test.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing a lot of pounding. Over
I know. Here. Like, wow. Really emphasizing that order.
So, but what really kind of, I guess I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole was the idea of how this affects school-age children with the fact that recess is being somewhat, in recent years, limited
yeah.
in grade school.
Yeah.
So it's, and it, I was found a bunch of articles about how, like, the death of recess is hurting kids. Right now I'm looking at it. It says, I'm looking at a Time article from, 2017. So still about 5 years old. I'm trying to find what I just saw. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, it does make sense too. Cause I mean, like you think about part of it is like moving your body, getting the blood pumping throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have any kind of activity, yeah, I mean, I've heard debates around recess for a while.
There was a survey done in 2007. It showed that 20% of school districts had reduced recess time. According to the 2016 Shape of the Nation report, just 16% of states require elementary schools to provide daily recess.
That's insane. And I mean, loved recess when I was a kid.
And I mean, many of these articles I looked at, they were talking about how many other countries that are like Finland that are higher, that rank higher on whether it be, you know, elementary education levels or standardized testing or however they test the education systems there. They have several periods of recess throughout the day.
Yeah.
So it's and they have a big association with obviously obesity being a bigger issue with school age children. Things like ADHD, how more kids are quote unquote suffering from ADHD. Now, don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I mean making kids sitting at a desk at longer periods of time, you're gonna get more people saying that some kids are fidgety and can't sit still or can't, you know, focus.
Yeah.
Especially when they can't, you know, get that energy out during recess. And also they say it's a byproduct of a lot of emphasis on Common Core, which is a big thing in school systems now. They talk about a lot of articles about how this really stems from
standardized testing.
Standardized testing, but the No Child Left Behind Act. They see a lot of, because that kind of brought up the Common Core and stuff like that. But they see a lot of the decrease in recess, in the different school districts, after that kind of policy got enacted. There's a lot of, I would say, poor repercussions that we're seeing, to our school age children. And I mean, I know this year is another whole issue in itself with hybrid school and online and virtual and whatnot and in person and who's going, who's not going. So, it's a really important topic to me because we have a daughter who's going to be in the school age children soon. So, You know, we were fortunate enough to go visit our school that had a lot of emphasis on outdoor activities. Yep. And, you know, not only physical education, but, you know, making sure that they're not, I mean, obviously it's a charter school, so they kind of are able to, I guess, march at the beat of their own drum, but
right.
they have a lot of emphasis on the importance of outdoor activities and letting children basically have recess, because that's kind of like where you build team building skills and you're able to do some critical thinking, and it's not just play. I mean, play is great, but I know we could, you know, talk to my mom and she could tell you about all the benefits of why like free time and free play is such a big thing in school now.
Yeah, it was also like a political minefield. It's where you learn that stuff.
Yeah.
No, I think that, you know, the things that we feel are just good, you know, I don't know where along the way recess became something that was worth cutting out of the days. Because since I feel like the beginning, parents have known like their kids need to move around.
Yeah.
They need activity. And all of the studies show that, you know, whether it's physical health or mental health, movement and activity throughout your day, not just one 15-minute period, is going to benefit the overall person. And I mean, I think this the study that caught our attention was it was obviously interesting just to think for about like how to apply it to our own life, but
right.
it's a big topic that, I mean, like you said earlier, this isn't a new study. This is something that's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And I mean, for those friends who have been seeing how their kids learn best up close and personal this past year, I think there's been a lot of eye-opening sort of experiences, because so many more people are realizing that there is no standard way of learning. There is no one way is going to fit all. And the more that we try to standardize learning and fit it into a little box, you know, some kids just need more time. You know, some kids need different styles. Some kids need to be hands-on. That was another really big thing that we were looking at in kind of like education for young kids, because it's not just about giving kids a book, you know? So, I mean, there's so many different aspects to learning where physical and physical activity play together, hand in hand. And when you think about how you best learn things, I mean, think about how activity fits into your day and how that might inspire you and how that might motivate you and drive you to do better. I think it makes a lot of sense what the study's saying in terms of when to do activity to really maximize your retention and learning and everything. But I think it's also, regardless of whether you work out before or after, the whole point is, especially if you're doing heavy duty learning and education, still fit in that activity, still make that a priority, because it's going to benefit you one way or another, one end of the day or the other.
Right. And it's amazing, not only is like recess being cut down, but, you know, physical education classes. So it's like,
well, that's a whole other bag.
Right. And the thing is, they're talking about seems like a recurring theme in some of these articles that I was looking up when I fell down the whole recess rabbit hole, was that it's... They're cutting these things away to make up more time for standardized testing and studying and things like that. And it's just like, like you already reiterated, I mean, it's that, how is that the end all be all?
Yeah. And where sadly, did that become success?
And sadly, when you have overarching policies that try, in theory, to make sure all kids are up to date and educated and whatnot, basically, they don't really leave room for nuances and things like, well, yes, but this free time actually helps these kids process information better.
Right.
I don't know why they don't look at those things, but it's like those concepts get lost somehow with the idea that we gotta get these kids educated. We gotta get them up to date. They gotta be in class more. But the opposite might be true, you know, and also I know this doesn't happen a lot. I mean, I think it happens in a significant portion of people is that sometimes kids are their own. The kids don't always have the parental figure to make sure that they're going to school every day and staying in school. Sometimes they have to kind of regulate themselves too, or, you know, be their own kind of guardians in order to make sure that they stay in school all day. And if you're making them sit down on the desk all day without having time to at least decompress, whether it be recess or PE, I think you're going to be essentially discouraging more kids to get that necessary education. So, I mean, like I said, go down a whole nother rabbit hole. I don't even want to go too far into it because we could go way into it. But I think it's important to realize how exercise and education are linked. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the main thing I wanted to get across. And that first initial study that we looked at shows the importance of it. But as far as recall goes and processing information, I mean, having an exercise routine, even into adulthood, is huge.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think that's kind of the NLB, and that's why bringing it back to the fitness part of Addicted to Fitness is that you got to have that regular exercise routine. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be weightlifting, even though those things are good and has its benefits on its own. But, you know, physical activity has to be a requirement. And, you know, we probably say, we've said it a lot in the last year, we don't want people to be hermits. And even though there are some things that we need to, precautions we need to take when we go outside nowadays, we still need to go outside.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the overall overarching theme of this episode. Exercise has been and always will be important. And the more you know, the more you exercise, the more you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So,
two, you cannot have one without the other.
Yes.
Or and not well, at least.
Mm-hmm. You want to know what the more... Wait a second. Do you want to know what I want to know more about? What's got us pumped?
Oh, jeez.
What? That was a perfect segue.
That was a little bit
that
forced.
That was textbook segue. You see what I did? Textbook education.
Yes.
Come on. All right. You're going to get to food first.
All okay.
Right. Go first.
What's got me pumped this week? Well, you mentioned the word rabbit hole a few times in this podcast. What got me pumped this week was actually something that I ended up really going down the rabbit hole on. And it was something I had never heard of in my life. I didn't even think this was possible. But I saw last weekend, early in this week, I saw all these headlines about this 21-year-old girl who paddled across the Atlantic Ocean, just 3,000 miles, in case anybody's curious, and became the youngest woman, like youngest female to do that by herself. And my jaw just like dropped and I was like, what? So I went in and I looked at this and I found Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge. It is a rowboat race. Like, it's a rowing race. So I don't mean rowboat as in, like, you know, tiny, teeny, little, tiny dinghy. Like, these boats are very technologically advanced, designed, incredibly smart. I'm guessing they are not cheap. They're loaded with, you know, all sorts of things. They even have a little, like, cubby for the participants to like sleep in and stay in. But what was really so mind-blowing was that this girl did this race by herself. And when they say by herself, it's not like, oh yeah, you've got other boats nearby, blah blah blah. No. Like, she was in a boat that was exposed to the elements. You know, like, yes, she had her cubby she could go into, but otherwise she's rowing with oars. I keep saying this because it just doesn't seem possible, but she's rowed across the ocean, and it took her like 2.5 months. So they left, all participants left like in early December of last year, in 2020. And yeah, that was the team I listened to. Yeah. Nick is looking at the Instagrams right now. I fell down this rabbit hole for a good 2 or 3 days. I found Lance Armstrong actually did a podcast, actually did 4 podcast episodes with one of the teams, because they had single and then they had pairs and then they had, like, you know, 4 or 5 man teams and women, not just men, but person teams. And I think it's something like only 300 people or something like that have ever even completed this race. And it was just so interesting to me because I am not an endurance athlete. Like, I know what my strengths are. I'm not an endurance athlete, but I can appreciate what goes into it, because if I was ever going to do an endurance sport, it would probably be cycling. But I have to say, rowing was always something I enjoyed. If you've ever used like the row machines in your gym, they're nothing compared to rowing across an ocean. But I mean, these people use those to train, and they were exposed to all kinds of things. The team that did, yes, that is the swordfish, or not swordfish.
Marlin,
that actually got stuck in one of the boats, one of the team's boats. So the Lance Armstrong podcast that I listened to had these 4 guys. One of them is the only American that participated in this race. And on their boat in the middle of the ocean, they got hit by what they think is probably, it was about a 12-foot marlin. And its nose, which is a sword, essentially, pierced the boat and came about 1 inch from one of the participants' thighs. And, I mean, miraculously, nobody was hurt. They definitely got derailed for a little while. I think they came in 2nd in the race, that team. But, I mean, it was just, I thought the most interesting part, once I got through, oh my gosh, this actually happened, was learning about what these people, what they had to wrap their minds around. I mean, they said that it's really common, and you just know going into it that you're probably going to be seasick for like 5 or 7 days. And I was like, what? And they have to pack all their food. They pack all that stuff. They have to learn how to use all the navigation equipment. And I mean, it's one thing for the team. They were talking about how they do naked rowing.
Mm-hmm. They didn't see any pictures of those.
No. But they said, oh, yeah, most of the people row naked because it cuts back on friction. And I thought Lance Armstrong's response to that was pretty great. He was like, excuse me, what? Naked? You row naked? just couldn't get over it. Even he was like, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I can't believe anyone would do this. The whole like extreme endurance athlete is so caught my attention because it's just powering through amidst life and death situations for a prolonged period. I'm not talking a few days. We're talking weeks.
Certain situations, yeah.
So, I mean, I think it was amazing. And then to see like what your body is truly capable of enduring that and the kinds of changes that it undergoes in doing that. I mean, you think people used to cross the ocean on boats.
Yeah.
Right? And that seems so mind-boggling all by itself.
Right.
Imagine having to be the person who had to row the boat. It's crazy. I fell down that rabbit hole hard, and I'm still like completely hooked. It's inspiring to me to hear about what we're really capable of, because it's not every day you hear sort of those reminders. And it's inspiring to know that you can push yourself. I mean, I think there was one of the oldest people who've finished the race, finished the series, like 71 or something. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And he did it by himself too.
Wow. That is pretty amazing.
Yeah. So that's what still got me pumped.
Mine's not nearly as cool. I got a golf net for the backyard, so I get to try to hit some golf balls.
That's cool.
So that's probably definitely want to start doing that more, since I work with a lot of golfers. I mean, the Tampa Strength app has its second program dropping very soon. Kettlebells for golf, kettlebells and body weight for golf, I should say. So I figured I'm gonna try my hand at golfing a little bit, since I work so much with golfers. So. And now I don't have to worry about hitting anything into other people's yards. So,
yes.
Or
into our house. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's what's got me pumped.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Somewhat, I guess. Not as cool as yours. But either way, I'll think of a better one. For next week's episode, we want to thank you guys for joining us this week. Once again, thank you for sharing the podcast. And if you've left a rating review, thank you. If you haven't, get to work. All right. You got anything else for them tonight?
Nope. Just remember that moving your body is going to help you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget.
Real smart. Wicked smart. All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter @theATFpodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.